Rebook. It's our Friday episode, and we are going to go off the rails because I have a subject matter that I feel very passionate about, and I'm going to do everything in my power to convince my dear friends, Jake and Matt, that I know what the hell I'm talking about. I'm GB. You got Jake. You got Matt. We're going to have some fun. Fellas, you guys ready?
I don't know. I don't have an answer to that.
I guess.
I don't know where you're going with this.
You woke us up at the crack of dawn for this. So
this is true. This is true.
Hey, I'm on the East Coast, baby. I'm good.
Yeah.
Sitting here at noon.
Hey,
to have some lunch after this. I'm sitting pretty.
9 a.m. for me, too. Okay, Jake? So stop complaining. All right? I got to work and stuff, too. So, you know, don't be mean. All right. Here we go. this is what we're going to do. All right. So I've been, you know, one of the things that's been really fun about working on this show, and I think both of you guys can agree on this, is that it's been fun to watch wrestling with a more analytical perspective, right? Not like from a tribalistic fan perspective, but from actually like using our experience in production across various industries while also, you know, being fans of the product, right? So I got back from Colombia. Voice was shot. It was midnight. I hadn't watched a lick of wrestling because I was like, dude, I just, there's so much going on. And then it dawned on me as I watched Kyle Fletcher take on Swerve Strickland. I was like, oh, so they use belts in a very different way in AEW. And that kind of led me to break down what AEW does with their titles and what each belt means. Now, I'm going to say it, and you guys can tell me I'm crazy, and it's fine if you tell me I'm crazy.
Didn't we already discuss what every belt means?
We discussed the rankings. We discussed the rankings, the importance, but this is different because I've
okay.
So, all right. So it all actually started with the Trios titles, and we also have fancy graphics for all of this. So let me go ahead and, oh, actually, I didn't have to zoom into that one. Blammo. Okay. So first up, we have our Trios Championships. Now, the reason why I'm starting with this is because I'll go to Ring of Honor afterwards because they play a role in this as well. But here is how I have identified the Trios Championships. They are essentially your workhorse titles for the tag team division. Okay. Look at what's happening right now with the Bang Bang Gang arc and all the stuff that they're doing, right? These guys are going out week in and week out, and they're putting on really good matches. Jay White, he's been, you know, he's a clear single star, right? You know that he's going to come out of this looking better, right? Because it's Jay White. And then you have the Gunn Brothers, right? These guys are what these titles are designed for. Same thing with like the Acclaimed, you know, and the story that they were telling, even though I feel like they kind of dropped the ball a little bit on that regard. But it's very clear that they're using the Trios titles to establish the Gunn Brothers as a legitimate tag team threat so that when they eventually move on to the tag team division, they will come in with a little bit of notoriety, right? Look at what's happening with the Acclaimed right now. Their World Trios titles ended. They're not going after the Trios titles anymore. The Acclaimed are back in the tag division. What does that mean for Billy Gunn? Well, I mean, I don't think it really matters all that much.
Singles run.
Singles run for Billy Gunn would be sick. I would love it. But I don't think that's necessarily what is going to come from that. But that kind of led me to be like, oh, snap. So the Trios titles are essentially the workman version of the tag titles. It's like the IC title in WWE, the US title. It's just meant to be a thing to give people something to do. And AEW likes to use belts as a way to signify importance. Okay. So are you guys with me so far?
Yeah.
I have thoughts, but I almost want to let you... Do we want to let you fill out the whole pegboard first before we tear it off the wall?
Okay. Next up. Now let's go ahead and talk about Ring of Honor real fast because, like I said, they use titles to signify importance. Okay. Obviously, that is what a belt is for. But for the common viewer, when you come in and you're watching AEW for the first time, you see a guy walking in with a belt, you just make the assumption, oh, this guy has achieved something, right? Case in point, when Kyle Fletcher fought Swerve Strickland, he came out with his Ring of Honor TV title. And look, that was a belt that Samoa Joe held for a very long time. And it is a belt that has some history to it. Jay Lethal held it for an incredibly long time as well. And if you know Ring of Honor, you know that that belt has lineage and history. But if you don't know Ring of Honor, then you could just see it as, well, what it is, which is kind of sort of a developmental title. Right. Which is what the Ring of Honor division is at this point in time. It's a way to keep legacy going while also being developmental, which is why they merge the trios titles with the six man titles, because that would just be redundant. That is too much. That would simply just be too many titles for them to have on one screen. Thus the unification. Right. Get rid of those belts. You're good to go. Thoughts on the Ring of Honor perspective so far?
Like, yeah,
I'll allow it,
but it's weird. Like the developmental thing, I get it. It's an easy comparison to draw, and they do have a lot of like they're newer, like people maybe that they haven't signed yet show up on that show, and they, you know, they're there for a few weeks, and then maybe they become quote unquote All Elite and they join the company proper. But then like, and I guess NXT is a similar way. I'm like, but you also have a lot of people there who have head title who absolutely are not developmental talents.
That is true. And that's why I said it's not Ring of Honor. It's not developmental, so to speak. It's just that it is kind of sort of become that because of the nature of what is going on with Ring of Honor, not having a consistent TV show, like it being more of a pay-per-view type of program. It's there. You know what I mean? That's why I felt that way about it. Because look, when Kyle Fletcher came out, look, it gave the commentary something easily to latch onto. Kyle Fletcher has won a Ring of Honor, title. He has, accolades to his name. It legitimized the competitor at that moment in time. Again, you can go into whether or not that is true, whether or not it actually does legitimize, but the facts remain, that is how they use the title. See, this isn't really about opinion either. This is just observation of what they've done with these titles and
the
how
one thing
they work around
that's
it.
Also just that's true of every pro wrestling company that's ever existed.
For sure.
That is not like... The one thing I will call out, like, that is not how AEW uses titles to make people more. Every wrestling company that has ever existed in the history of the sport as we know it, that a championship is supposed to represent a more, make
just
somebody
AEW
more.
AEW has like 30, right? So
they do have.
So each belt's got to have a role. And for a little time there, the belts weren't having roles. That's part of the reason why, like the Acclaimed arc, for example, with the trios titles, was so dragged out, why those belts felt so, kind of irrelevant, was because of the fact that they needed a reshuffling. And the way to reshuffle it was to get the six-man titles onto the Bang Bang Gang and then to build out that story, because they know that they could use those trios titles as a way to give tag team wrestlers who aren't actively fighting for the tag team titles something to do. And for the Ring of Honor side of things, you take guys who won't normally get that TV time, but you let them run good matches at Ring of Honor. And then, ipso facto, that's where we are.
So does this make titles less important if they're just being used as a prop?
I do.
It depends. Okay. I think the Ring of Honor, yes. I think for the rest of the titles in AEW, no. But that is a different argument altogether.
So like we could end up having two different conversations, because like I can feel, and I think Jake, you might be on the same wavelength on me. And to be fair, I think this whole episode is GB being like, this is how they do it. We can argue whether it's good or not, or whether you like that or not.
Yes.
But you're just trying to lay out like, here's how it seems like they're using it. And it's just your observation. Again, a different conversation is whether that's a good idea, but we don't have to get bogged down that if we don't want.
So you guys are here to say if it's a good idea or a bad idea, all you want. I honestly, doesn't matter. What matters.
Right. You're pointing out the pattern.
I'm pointing
you're
it
seeing
out.
In the talent.
Yeah.
Okay. I can see that.
I have used
that.
Facts and perspective to evaluate this in an official manner.
Okay. So here we go. All right, so we just finished the Trios titles, and I wrote some funny notes with it too. Mind you, it was like 3 a.m. and I was a little high. So I was like going through all this stuff and I was like trying to figure everything out. Now, here is where things I think are very interesting here. The FTW title, okay, will become AEW's hardcore title. It is AEW's hardcore title. That is what they're doing. Right now, that is what they're doing. Look at the matches that Chris Jericho literally just had against Shibata, right? It's gruesome. There's weapons. There's all sorts of shit. That belt is like essentially the ECW championship or ECW all like bundled up into one. And it is right now being established as a hardcore title. That's it.
Aren't all matches supposed to be FTW rules or whatever? Exactly.
Which is hardcore rules.
Which is just hardcore rules.
Okay. Yeah.
So, you know what I wish they would do? I know, and this isn't it, but you know what would be really cool? Just because AEW does do, again, whether it's good or not, they do a lot of hardcore matches, death matches.
A lot.
Yes. You know what would be kind of cool, though? And we'll jump right back to it. FTW, it's Taz's title. He's the human suplex and submission machine and stuff. What if it was like a submission match only? Yeah. You had that. I feel like that would be unique. It's different. You don't see that in any other company. Mm-hmm. We've seen the hardcore title before. So like, it'd be kind of interesting to have a title defended under certain rules, but like that isn't. And I think it fits.
Yeah. Like I would like the wrestler to define what those rules were. You know what I mean? Yeah, I think that would
No. You can't do that though.
Oh, really? Okay.
Then John Moxley has a title. Everything's hardcore. And then this guy has one. You have to finish everything with a top rope move because it's freaking.
That's fair.
Martin or whatever. I hate that. That seems silly.
All right.
I think having established rules.
No silliness. We're not doing silliness.
No. Oh God. Now I sound like a wet sandbag of.
Okay. Boomer.
No fun. You kids don't know how to wrestle.
All right. So
back in my day, you shook hands in the middle of the ring. And you...
Which, by the way, Ring of Honor does have a title for that. It's called Pure. And that is their thing. But here's a fun thing. AEW now has their own version of a Pure title. And it is called the Continental title. Okay. Now, this is where I think things get a little fascinating. Because...
Fascinating means reaching, but I'm ready. Let's go.
No. It's not reaching. This is like actually what it is. Like you can see it week in and week out. So the Continental title is definitely the like Intercontinental Championship of AEW, at least as it stands right now, in that it is a workman's championship, right? It is meant for the workers. It is meant for pure wrestlers. The rules state you cannot interfere in the matches. Like there's no outside interference. There's no funny games. It is pure wrestling, right?
Isn't that every match technically?
Well, yes, but
unless it's a no DQ match,
it is specifically stated in the Continental Championship rules that there is no outside interference. It's very much like Pure in that even though Pure has like its weird technical rules,
do they
enforce it? And they mention it every single time. Every single time that belt is defended.
Right, but every match, if somebody interferes, it's like a disco. There's not interference allowed in any match, technically. Yeah.
And that's why, and you're not wrong, but the way that I have seen this belt kind of been played out is that it is just meant for the wrestler's wrestler. Okada has a title right now. Eddie Kingston had the title first. The people in the tournament, it was the same thing. It was like all good. And like, look, everyone's good wrestlers across the board. That's not really the point. The point is those are the rules established by the Continental Championship, is that it is one-on-one, no interference, no managers coming out to be with you. Like no one's at ringside. No one's like engaged in the match. It is the two men in the ring. That's
and what
it.
Happens
the
if
Bucks
you do?
Out there with
mm-mm. Bucks have never got Bucks games? Came out with Okada for the intro and then Okada walked by himself and then did the match by himself.
But what happens if you do? Does the title change hands?
We haven't. I'm assuming so. I think it will change hands through disqualification. I wouldn't be shocked if that's one of the rules.
A triple threat match for the Continental title next week.
I don't know if they're going to do a triple threat match for. I don't think they'll ever do that. I think that this belt actually signifies exactly what it is. It's meant to be a one-on-one title. It's like AEW's version of Pure, right? for example, I think Samoa Joe is going to probably go for the Continental Championship because
I think you have a really cool idea, and I wish this was. I don't believe for a second that this is what they're doing with
this. Is literally what it sounds like in commentary. All I'm doing is taking the shit that they say, and I just worded it. And
I hear
you. So look, if AEW goes against their own rules, then that's on them. But this is what I'm seeing. That's all it is. Okay. Now. All right. Now, obviously, we have our let's shift over to the women's. I think we all know like what the women's titles, you know, represent. TBS women. Titles, you know, you're more the mid card, right? It's your Intercontinental, and the women's title is the women's title, right? There's really no other way around it. Nothing there changes that much. If they were to incorporate women's tag titles, which I don't think they should, at least I think right now, given the roster and the time that they have for the show, it'll be really difficult for them to fit that in. WWE's been struggling with that, with the women's tag titles on their program. They don't even have a mid-card title, but they have two women's champions. So it's a different kind of beast there. Now we go to where this whole thing kind of started was the TNT Championship. So the TNT Championship, this is the weird one because this is a legacy title and it's the same thing. And the TNT and the International kind of cover similar bases, but I'm starting to see the division happen between them, right? Adam Copeland holding the TNT Championship. It feels like it's meant to be more of like the upstart championship. It's meant to be more of like, you know, this is like what guys like Daniel Garcia, who we've seen him fight for, will go for. This is going to be maybe what Kyle Fletcher eventually goes for, right? It's meant to be a way to kind of like establish people. Adam Copeland, funny enough, really benefited with the TNT title. Christian Cage, same thing, because of that very similar arc that they had built with it, with their story and all that stuff. This one's been a little bit tougher to define, but I'm starting to see with the Cope Open and the way that they're treating it, it feels like it's the first step on the ladder of climbing, you know, to the top of AEW. Again, could be wrong, but that's what I'm seeing. Thoughts?
Sounds as good as any other explanation, I suppose. I mean, yeah, it does kind of feel like the US title when Cena had it, like around that time where it was being defended a lot, and it was kind of to feature up and comers. So
like, you're not going to see Okada go for the TNT title, right? It didn't make sense for him to do that, right? The Continental Championship felt more like a bigger deal, so to speak, than the TNT. So,
with a few exceptions, I feel like the TNT title has always been a top guy who we can't put in the world title picture right now. Your Brody, it was Copeland, it was Christian, these people you pay a lot of money, and you have you establish as some of your top talent, but we just want to have them to have something
that they can
we're
do
not
right
having
now.
Them in the world title. There were some exceptions, like Scorpio was a guy who was kind of on the up and up when he was having his run with it and stuff, and they tried it a few times, but
Darby
more
Allen.
Than not. Darby was another one too.
Yeah,
the International as well as the Continental, which I think one of those needs to go. Those now are more for your up and coming and your workhorses. Kind of, I think you can kind of funnel into that kind of a division. Your TNT feels almost like it's a star title.
Yeah,
but featuring matches with everybody, with young talent, established talent, all that kind of stuff. But like I said, yeah, it seems like it's your star power guys who we don't want to put in the world title picture.
Yeah, gives them something to do, which there is really nothing wrong with that. And, you know, I mean, this is the belt that Mr. Brody Lee held, so it'll always have some kind of, you know, importance and relevancy to AEW's history. So I don't ever see this being a thing that goes away. If anything, I think all the belts, TNT, will be the one that outlasts everything. I think it'll just become a TV title at that point. I think they'll just rebrand it as the AEW TV Championship, because it's WCW in nature. They like TV titles, so they'll use that. Now, this was where I started to notice some weird parallels between New Japan, because, you know, I mean, this shouldn't be a surprise to everyone, but AEW is basically just New Japan Pro Wrestling within the United States. That's, it's the same kind of like concept, right? Fighting spirit, you know, a
it's
bunch
the
of
Panda
championships.
Express. To their
sure, yeah, if that's okay, if that's yeah. how you want to categorize it, it's perfectly
it's
fine.
Authentic Japanese food.
It's perfectly yeah. fine. I don't necessarily agree, but I do get the comparison there.
PF Chang's
a lot of inspiration from the style of which New Japan runs. Their
yeah,
promotion.
Now right. now this is where I found something fascinating with the international title, and you know, Matt, you called New Japan Pro Wrestling, so I think you can speak to this probably the best. The international title feels like the IWGP US Championship just flipped, right? The US Championship, to me, from the outside looking in, as someone who doesn't watch AEW, or sorry, New Japan Pro Wrestling all the time, the US title felt like a belt for very important people to hold because it was the US Championship. It almost felt like if I was thinking about the hierarchy of titles in New Japan, it'd be like IWGP World right here, then it'll be Intercontinental, and then it'll be US, right? Like they kind of, do you feel like they treat them in a similar or a similar field, or you feel like the IWGP US is below the Intercontinental over
do
in
they still have the Intercontinental?
Actually, I don't know if they still have the Intercontinental.
I remember that was a thing for a while, but I feel like it ran for like 5 years. And then, so now, because they've also recently introduced International Global Heavyweight Champion or whatever. So that's like the new Intercontinental title for New Japan.
Yeah.
The US title, yeah, kind of. I would say, God, I'd have to, they have a lot of belts too, as we've discussed. I would think so, yeah. It's one or two steps below the world title. Especially again, now that there's that global heavyweight championship, that kind of has a nice, but the US title also felt like it was specifically, I mean, they wanted to have a bigger presence in the US, so like it was often on a lot of foreigners, a lot of gaijin yeah. and stuff like that. Big prominent holders are Juice Robinson, Moxley, Osprey, people, Japanese guys have held it and everything. Yeah. Tanahashi
and that was what the International, if you remember, was supposed to be, right? The
yeah, and I feel like it's losing that identity a little bit.
It has. Undoubtedly it has, because of the waters being muddied. I do have a theory on where you had said that there's going to be a merger of titles, or there should be a merger of titles. I do think that they merge some of these belts eventually, because yeah. as it stands right now, and you kind of look at like who is going after the international title, it's now Will Ospreay, right? And you look at the history of people who have held the title. It has been Orange Cassidy, right? Really put the belt on the map after Pac, you know, lost it because they, you know, Pac had the visa problems and all that stuff. So they really kind of leaned more into storylines, into, you know, like things centering around this title in a manner that made it feel like it was just a step below the world heavyweight title. Which was weird to me at the time, especially with the introduction of the Continental Championship. But that's kind of been my make on it. Cassidy held it. Pac held it. Moxley held it. Ray Fenix held it. Right. And then they're really leaning on storylines to carry this title, whereas the Continental feels more like records matter, who fights who. Right. Like, and don't get me wrong. I think the Continental, one of these belts is going away. I'm not saying like, you know, it's fine to all these belts are there, because right now it's like, who does Okada fight for the Continental Championship, right? Like, how do you establish anyone to take on Okada for that role? Maybe it'll be Kenny Omega, right? But then, you know, there's a lot of questions that kind of circulate on that. But the international title genuinely just feels like it's being treated as a step below the world heavyweight title, while also kind of sort of being equal in importance to the Continental. And then you have the TNT championship over on the side, just doing whatever that they want. And that to me is how the breakdown of the titles operate. And it feels like it just, I get it. I get how they approach it. But if you have only ever watched WWE and you're only used to how WWE does their things, then this will all seem very like too much, you know, and it probably is. Probably is. But these are the observations that I had. And WWE also, you know, the way that they treat their titles, they build their storylines around their titles, right? Whereas AEW, if you kind of look at like what happened on Dynamite last week, right? They bookended the show with two world champions and they treated both world champions as important as possible, New Japan and AEW, because they exist in a universe where all the other wrestling exists, right? So if you have a world champion in New Japan, that's a world champion over there. WWE doesn't do that. The best of the best is the one who holds WWE championship, and they're doing what they can to establish a world heavyweight championship. But I mean, let's not kid ourselves. It's going to end up being, you know, we don't know what to do with some of these guys, so we're going to have them go fight for the world heavyweight title, because the WWE championship is always going to hold that legacy. What do you guys think? Am I crazy? Go ahead. Break everything I said down. Let's discuss.
No, you're not. I don't think you're crazy.
I mean, I'm a little crazy.
You're a little crazy. We're all a little crazy. But no, I think they do. And to the point Jay kind of brought up at the beginning, I think it speaks to, and again, maybe it's okay. A discussion of whether or not it's good is a different conversation. Mm-hmm. I do think they use them kind of as props for people to, a lot of them feel like consolation prizes and stuff like that. And they just establish, here's this division, something to do, because we wanted you to have a belt. So they do kind of establish these things, even if it's unconscious, these things you're noticing. Like, oh, this guy, like, who are these workhorses? We'll put them over here. And like, these guys, more story stuff and everything. the only one I find dissonance with, I think I kind of stick with everything. I'm kind of, as to how they do use it, I'm kind of with you on most of the thing. The international one,
the international's the outlier.
What the hell? Yeah, because yeah. Even you said it like, oh, it's a step below. Dude, that to me still feels like four steps below the world title. Like, it feels so afterthought-y to me. I see Continental and TNT as way more important. So, I know this isn't an importance thing.
I actually
like,
think
it just
it's the
feels
reverse.
Like the outlier.
I think it is the reverse only because of the matches that followed, like Roderick Strong getting the title, right? Like, let's not forget, there were like dedicated TV time, big programs happening with Orange Cassidy, him holding the international title, the whole arc of him being like exhausted and beaten down because he was defending his title each and every week, that he was trying to establish a belt as like, you know, something legit. And then he ends up losing it to Roderick Strong. Then Roderick Strong goes on to have some pretty decent matches. And now he's kind of serving what Samoa Joe served, which was I hate to say it, but he was a transitional champion. For Will Ospreay, because they're going to get this belt on the Will Ospreay. And then from there, who knows what happens? Do you go with Will Ospreay taking on Okada to unify the titles? Does Okada unify the titles? Right? Like, how do you even unify the titles? Because it's very clear they're not going to do that with TNT. They have kept that thing as far away from the AEW championship or that whole arc as possible. They've kept that super far away. So I don't think the TNT champion has ever appeared on camera with any of those belts alongside him. International.
Right, which to me makes it more important.
Yeah. So, which you're not wrong. I mean, look, I do think that the TNT title, because Adam Copeland's holding it, Christian Cage held it, Brody Lee held it, I think you can say that it is the intercontinental title of AEW. But I think that they think that the Continental Championship is actually that belt.
And I think so too. Actually. Yeah. Yeah. I do too. I think that is the more. And that's why I think you have three essentially like rung below world title. Three. I don't like the word mid card because it makes things mid. You know, I hate the word mid, but we can all throw that out the window. We all know that these are important, you know, accomplishments for the rest.
And the man makes the title, right? Look at the people who are holding the belts right now.
Sure. But you have I think three is too many mid-card titles for them to have their own identities. TNT's kind of holding on to that for the points I said earlier, kind of like your little bit of like your established star, legacy star title. I think you're like kind of work. I think you need one kind of like up-and-comer or workhorse. The Continental title kind of feels like I might be losing some of my rules and stuff on this. I kind of wish they would treat it a little bit more like the King of Pro Wrestling title in New Japan,
yeah.
which isn't really a belt, but it's like a tournament. And then for a year, there's a King of a KOPW, and they get to kind of choose the rules, I think, of like how they defend. That's something I've seen that I wish they could maybe that we could separate these belts.
Yeah.
Things like maybe that could separate Champ, the international or the continental. It's and it's not always like hardcore, but like it'll be like this one is it's a handicap match, which can be great for a heel, or this one is, you know, 15-minute time limit. This week it's to be fair, Pro Wrestling Revolver has a great one called a remix title, and the champion gets to pick the stipulation every time they defend it. It's kind of like a champion's advantage. And it can be a submission match. It can be an Ironman. It can because I can outrun you. I can out cardio you, and you can have some fun things with that. I wish they would have some more definitive, like, identities for especially.
And I think they're trying to do
international
that.
And continental. I hope they do, and I hope they continue to.
Yeah, it feels like with the continental they also sound, they're trying to do. It.
Just, like at least rename one, because they both sound so damn similar.
International, continental, that, intercontinental, as we
It just it's they just sound so similar. I'm like, I don't remember who has which one or they just feel less important than they should, because I can't keep straight who has what fucking title.
And the reason why it's a two pronged issue to me with the Continental Championship is that Your first champion was Eddie Kingston. And I mean, everyone knows like that whole Continental Crown, that whole journey, that was awesome. Like that was such a good arc. And it gave that belt a ton of, or it just gave that tournament a ton of spotlight. The thing a lot of people, again, because, you know, the descriptions and everything was very confusing, they weren't aware that, you know, at the end of it, it was like the Continental Crown wasn't the three championships. There was just the Continental Championship. But that was also like, you know, Eddie Kingston's whole King of the Bums arc, which was awesome. That being said, Eddie defends it once on Collision. Mind you, that belt has only been defended on Collision, which leads me to believe that that belt is also was supposed to be CM Punk's real world championship. I wouldn't be shocked if that belt was supposed to evolve into that eventually. Because remember, you know, CM Punk walked out with a world title in Wembley, you know, and defended it in Wembley. So I think that's what they wanted that to be. Maybe with the soft brand split that AEW kind of sort of has with Collision and with Dynamite, even though it doesn't really feel like that now, but we'll see. That could be where that goes. But I think, yeah, for the sake of all of this, the Continental being a pure wrestling championship, though, is kind of cool. Like, I do like that, especially
to
when
be fair, the Continental was defended on Dynamite. That's how Okada won it.
I thought he won on a Collision.
No, he won on Dynamite.
Oh, shit. Never mind then. I'm a troll. I'm a fraud. Go ahead.
I thought I remembered that. So I just looked. Yeah,
I could have sworn to God it was Collision, but you're right. So it was. But to that point, though, regardless, even then that muddies the waters of like a soft brand split. So clearly they're not doing that shit. Right. So where does, and they were only really doing that because of, you know, politics and what was happening behind the scenes. That doesn't matter. What matters is where we are right now. And I don't know who Okada wrestles for the Continental Championship at Double or Nothing. It could be Kenny Omega. I highly doubt it's going to be Kenny Omega. So if the belt doesn't get defended at Double or Nothing, which is like AEW's big, one of their big pay-per-views of the year, I would say it's like that now All In and All Out. Where does the Continental Championship lie? I think where it goes to a feud between Ospreay and Okada. I think Ospreay is going to be the one to take down the Elite. And it's going to be done with those titles, maybe in a unification manner. That's my fantasy booking, brother.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, that could be, and especially if you wanted to run, if you don't want to give, we've talked about this before, if you want to run with Swerve for a while, which I think would be really cool to see, maybe that's kind of Ospreay's big Wembley moment, is he wins that that title. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or maybe that's if we do have a international continental combined, it happens there.
What better way to do a big thing than to have a unification match at All In Wembley? And rather than take the belt off of Swerve, you have Will Ospreay unify the continental by defeating Okada. Yeah.
That'd because be really cool.
Who can defeat Okada? Right. The only other person that was IWGP. World heavyweight champion,
good history,
which was Will Ospreay. Yeah. There's good history. Good, and we know that Tony Khan likes to book, you know, New Japan matches, right? You know, like reduxes of them, if you will, remixes,
rebook them. Would you say?
Yeah, it was right there.
Come on, GB's lost in his conspiracy theories.
I've been in the sauce for so long. Well, we got like 5 more minutes. We're not going to dive too much into what happened on Dynamite. We'll save that for the main show on, consider this your Rampage, right? Funny enough. I got to say, all the things we said, we needed them to correct. They literally did on this episode of Dynamite. It was actually pretty, pretty solid stuff. I enjoyed it. But I did have a theory, though, that I wanted to float with you guys. Yeah, this is a theory-laden episode.
A lot of theories. Boy.
How would you feel about Rampage becoming the third hour of AEW television in a similar capacity to when WWE used to do Warzone into Raw is War on Monday nights? Do you guys remember that? Am I the only one that remembers that?
No. Yeah, I remember. It was a weird thing because, like, I remember seeing it in my cable listing as two separate shows.
Yeah.
Even in, like, my 2002, when you would go through the individual things on your remote, it would be like, yeah, WWE Monday Night Raw and Raw is War.
And the reason why, was because at 10 was when the rules, I think, like the what they could show on TV,
FCC or whatever.
The FCC rules changed, right? So now the thing is, someone brought up an interesting point because they were like, well, if you do that, you got to make Rampage feel important because otherwise people are just going to fall off after that. But I was watching this week what they managed to do with the whole Kenny Omega narrative, which was freaking awesome, by the way, and how it bled into Rampage. And I'm like, I don't know. Then after that, you have Rampage with, you know, your up-and-coming wrestlers. This is where your Willow Nightingale defends her TBS championship. This is where Adam Copeland defends the TNT championship. Maybe this is where you have, you know, a big match for the international with Will Ospreay or something like that. Like, you let the wrestlers go on Rampage, but you use that bleed-in time because you don't have to, like, end the show right away. Because if you notice, AEW had great pacing this week, and it was because of the fact that they have that third hour of television. So I'm wondering, is that what you do?
Like, I don't know. I mean, everybody hates Raw at 3 hours. It's been a huge complaint. They're doing it
as much now, though.
Not as much because we're used to it. But there, if you ask anybody, I think any fan, if they prefer it going back to 2 hours, they would. But if AEW can get the ad money for it, that's what WWE does. They get better ad, even if the rating dips, you know, because it dips throughout the show and everything like that. But they still do what better than a lot of other basic cable shows. So they get decent ad money for an extra hour of content, which is why they do it. I mean, I do feel like three separate TV shows on TV is too much. And like Friday Rampage is not a huge ratings bonanza. I wish they just had Collision and Dynamite. I like the extra time for the talent. I just don't know. I don't know if that's the answer. Again, because I think 3 hour wrestling shows on TV are a little long every single week. But I also think a 1 hour show on Friday at 10 o'clock or whatever
doesn't really do much.
Not a great show either. So I don't have the answer for it. I don't think it's a bad idea.
Yeah.
If they can get the network interested.
What about you, Jake? What do you think?
I'm kind of conflicted because, I kind of feel like Matt said, like the third hour feels like we're just kind of used to it at this point with Raw. But I mean, sometimes less is more makes you be more efficient with the time that you do have.
This is true.
And I don't know, in a way, like it almost kind of makes like pay-per-views and PLEs feel a little like, you know, maybe the only thing special about them is the, I don't know, because they're also 3 hours usually.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it just, I don't know.
It's usually three hours of like matches, right? Like, I mean, you kind of,
usually,
I mean, you kind of go into it with the expectation. It's just like, you're, sure, it's just like match. Whereas right, like TV, you're getting promos and interviews,
right,
and segments backstage. And I don't disagree though. Especially in regards to WWE with Raw, it's just interesting because I haven't felt that because of how good Raw has been. So it's kind of been like, I sat there and watched all 3 hours of AEW yesterday, and it flew by because it was like really good. You know, it's just like, you know,
I would rather have a third hour than an hour like,
mm-hmm,
that feels like it should.
Would you rather have a third hour or an hour on a Friday? You know, it's like,
yeah,
if you,
yeah,
had to,
especially
pick one,
when it's pre-taped anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, they tape it there on Wednesdays anyway.
Because right, it, funny thing is, a lot of stuff happens on Rampage. A lot of stuff happens on Rampage that actually feels random if you don't watch Rampage. So there was a whole Angela Parker and Ruby Soho story. All that was done 100% on Rampage. Soraya's new partner, I forget her name, she was purely on Rampage for like a good chunk of time, just on Rampage. So it's like a lot of people, I think, miss that because Rampage is that 1 hour on a Friday and then they have Collision on a Saturday. So it's just like it's too much in the proximity. But I just found it to be,
yeah,
fascinating.
I think it's an interesting idea. I think it is an idea worth considering. I think it is interesting. Yeah, yeah,
we're just cooking ideas, and they're just taking them.
I know.
You know,
let's see if they'll take this one. Take the bait,
guys. Just A-Dubs. Listen, we're giving it to you. You know, we're AEW. We just want wrestling to be great,
but not for long. We will start charging.
Yeah, we will start
consulting fees.
The checks in the mail. Okay, yeah. Consulting fees are coming in. No, but jokes aside, though, I'm curious to hear what you guys think. What do you think about my cooked up theory regarding the titles and how AEW operates with them? You can feel free to call me crazy. I honestly don't care.
I think you like I said, I think you're on for what they are doing. I don't like a lot of what they do with them, but I think you've seen the patterns. I think those patterns are generally pretty correct, especially as far as like X title is kind of like a secondary title to the main one, and it's a way to kind of work your way back to that. I think that's probably true. I mean, you're a little crazy, GB, but like you're not that crazy. I'm picking up what you're throwing down.
Thank you. But, and this is going to be the last thing I'll leave it on. The FTW title learning tree arc is actually kind of popping off. And I know people are going to disagree, but no, it's actually kind of popping off right now. Jericho's becoming a cult leader and he's doing it with hardcore matches. He's in his Terry Funk era. Everyone's kind of like getting that individual time. And I think so long as they keep doing that, then we just keep being treated
Brian
to good
Myers
TV.
Walked so Chris Jericho could run. You know what
damn
I mean?
Right, baby. Damn right. What a freaking legend. Trust the system. Ain't that the truth?
Learning tree TNA 2022 RIP.
Yeah, that or, which is it just crazy.
2021.
And didn't also Taz have a similar arc in ECW as well? The learning tree.
Did he? I don't know.
I think it was something to that effect. I think that's part of the reason why a lot of this is happening, which is kind of cool. But yeah. Anyway, guys, that's it for us. It was a fun video. I just wanted to cook on this, and I figured doing it on a rebooked episode would just bog the conversation down. Appreciate you. Thank you for hearing me. Thank you for letting me be crazy. Sound off
you're
in the comments.
Seen. Yeah. You're heard.
Thank you,
Alex. Okay.
That's all I care about, guys. Sound off in the comments below. Okay. We're getting close to 500 subs on our YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe, give it a like. You know, we work really hard to make this show possible for each and every one of you all throughout the week. Join us on Discord and check out our shorts and things we're pumping out there, and join the convo. That's, you know, we just like chatting about pro wrestling, and it's been really fun. So thank you all so much for watching. Take care, everybody. Peace. Later.